You're listening to Tucson Business Radio X. And now with Josh Gruber, here's Weeding Out Business, a program that tells it like it is. If you want to be successful on Business Radio X, here's Josh.
Good morning. This is Josh Gruber, owner of Poppy Yard Solutions. We are here for episode 2 of Weeding Out Business. We're here at Stewart Title on Broadway and Alvernon in Tucson, Arizona. This show is brought to you by Tucson Business Radio X, part of the Business Radio Network. We have three guests this morning. To my left, we'll introduce them real fast, and then we'll get a little bit of info about the guys. Justin Musgrove, he's with American Family Insurance. Guy Welsh, he is a financial advisor. And Alex Mastrangelo, he's the owner of Habitation Realty, property management company in town. Three guys that, you know, I definitely can make some money from, and hopefully I can give some people to them too to, you know, increase their bottom line, top line, all of that. So it's Thursday here in the studio, and, you know, we want to make sure that everybody knows this is not scripted. I have nothing in front of me. We are literally going to start to my left, introduce this guy. He was here a month ago. So for him, we want to know what he's done since. You know, Justin, you know, I know you got a new guy on your staff. Yeah. We know you're from Tucson. We know you went to Santa Rita High School. You know, what, since we talked last time, what's happening? You know, what are you doing?
Well, we got a lot of big things going. You know, my wife Danielle, she's about 2 months into the whole marketing. She's now my marketing manager, and I brought on a new guy. His name is Jose Camacho. Goes by Camacho. He is an agent that, you know, was with Allstate, and I ended up bringing him on as my producer. Been doing a little bit of shifting as far as how I'm structuring the business, and you know, it's been something I've been working with our agency, you know, business consultant, as well as our operations manager, just kind of shifting it and wanting to move in a more aggressive manner as far as bringing in more business, being able to help out more clients. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, that we dropped, you know, last time on the podcast, man, is just things that we've been implementing into, you know, into the day-to-day life, you know, inside the agency.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about, you know, how you got into the business. Family friend brought you in, kind of took you under his wing, and then you, you know, spread your wings and, you know, are on your own without any direct mentorship. What do you think the new guy is going to, you know, bring to the table? How's he going to help you out?
Well, you know, man, it's one of those things where I think he definitely brings an energy, you know, with him. And when you get around other, you know, power players, man, and other positive people, I mean, it ends up bringing out the best in you. I mean, that guy is constantly on the phone, man. He is, you know, he sells himself. He doesn't really sell the product, man. And that is, you know, that is just a key importance, you know, in a lot of sales that we do. So just listening to him, picking up on his, you know, on some of his positive traits, you know, and just incorporating those with mine. And then just, you know, balancing each other out, man, having a yin to the yang, you know, because together, I mean, we are, we're just, you know, we're a team. So, I mean, there's a lot of positive traits that he's bringing. He's been on with me now for about a month, for a week and a half. So I haven't got to see all too much. We got a lot of training going on. We have a, you know, first 100-day list that was actually given to me from Tyler that, you know, I pretty much just took and copied and pasted and just kind of put in a lot of the stuff that relates to insurance inside of it, things that I wish that I had, you know, when I started. And so it's basically just a full roadmap to success within the first 90 days. So that way, you know, at the end of the 90 days, I mean, he is full on sprinting and, you know, just, you know, has everything at his fingertips. So
right. And you guys are going, you kind of going hard at the commercial side of things.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Commercial is it's great. I mean, it's a great you know, it's great for business. You know, and it's one of the things that I really like that I can get out of it is just the people that I'm able to be in front of. There are other business owners also. Right. I mean, a lot of individuals that either own, you know, commercial property, whether they own other businesses like yourself and, you know, the gentlemen that are here with us. You know, there's a reason why, you know, we get to where we're at. You know, I heard today that 91% of, you know, of all jobs in America are created by entrepreneurs. And then the other 9% is just based basically federal, state, and local government. So, I mean, it's guys just like, you know, the four of us that are in here, you know, that are, you know, creating, you know, everything essentially that we have in front of us, you know, it's supplying the jobs. And so, you know, when we can all get together and just kind of put our, you know, put our minds together, create that mastermind group. I mean, there's so much content, you know, that can, you know, be dropped and we can pick up on. And it's, you know, it's just copying and stealing everything, man. I mean, what worked for you, you know, essentially could work for me, and just kind of tweaking it, you know, into, you know, what makes it unique for my agency.
All right. Your brand.
My brand.
Guy, did you know that 70% of statistics are made up on the spot?
I've heard that.
And that only 10 out of 7 people understand fractions.
Sure. I'll go ahead and say yes.
Right, it's good, right? I stole that from something we listened to. So, Guy Welsh, you know, thanks for being here. You know,
of course.
This is the first time we've ever met. Tyler, a good buddy of mine, mutual friend of ours, it was the one that, you know, told me that you should be, you know, invited to this. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I wanted to have you on. We talked a little bit on the phone a couple weeks ago, again, you know, a couple days ago. So you were a baseball player, right? Where are you from? Tell me about your childhood. Where did you grow up?
Sure. So I'm a Tucson native. I'm the first generation born here in Tucson. So my mom and my dad were raised in Indiana. My father was an air traffic controller. So back in the early 80s when all the air traffic controllers went on strike and they thought Reagan was going to bluff, well, he didn't. And they all lost their jobs and my dad got his job. So that kind of took him all over the West Coast. He was in San Francisco for a while and ended up landing here in Tucson where him and my mom stayed. And that's where I was conceived, I believe.
Yeah.
Could have been before that, but I was born here. Let's put it that way. So I grew up here in Tucson. I'm a Sabino baseball, Sabino high school baseball. I played at Pima for 2 years and I went on a little bit, which I'll get into, but I'm a Tucson native through and through. I love this city and it's kind of who
awesome.
I am.
So did you go to college?
I did.
Play ball?
Yeah. So out of high school, I'm 6'3 now, but most people say, you know, they don't look at me and think that I was ever really, really small.
Right.
Out of my senior year of high school, I was very small, maybe 180 soaking wet, 5'9" coming out of high school.
Wow.
And nobody wanted me. So Edgar Soto over at Pima Community College at the time, I had a really good relationship with, and he said, you know what, we'll give you a shot over here at Pima. I went to Pima, and for some reason, I was eating right, drinking right, everything, and I grew into kind of the man that you see sitting in front of you. So after my sophomore year at Pima, I went to play over at University of North Carolina, Greensboro,
okay.
Which is in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's a Division I. Right now, I believe they're in the Southern Conference.
Okay.
You may have heard of them. They were in the basketball NCAA championship this past year. They made it for the first time ever from a basketball standpoint. So they're getting a little bit bigger over there.
A little recognition.
A little recognition.
Nice. So I've actually heard of it probably from that, but I know the city Greensboro.
Yes.
You know, that comes to mind. You know, PGA Tour plays the Greensboro tournament.
They're going there this weekend.
There you go.
Or they start today.
The Wyndham.
That's right.
Brant Snedeker shot 59, but let's stay on track. So cool. So college ball.
Yep.
Got out and you played a little bit of pro ball.
Right. So after my senior year, I was drafted by the Seattle Mariners. I played in their organization for about three and a half years until I broke my leg, and that kind of ended my professional career with them. So.
Okay.
It was a great experience. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Learned a lot of valuable lessons through that whole ride.
And then, so what was the transition like from going to, you know, possibly playing baseball mm-hmm. as a moneymaker, which is amazing?
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it with the pains in the body that you get from that stuff,
sure.
But what was the in between baseball and now?
So it's a good question. So out of baseball, so I got married. I had my wife and we got married that year when I broke my leg. And then I went to what I knew best, which was coaching baseball. So I started, I was a head baseball coach over at Rincon High School and University High. I did that for 2 years and I quickly realized that I cannot stand coaching teams of children with parents.
Yeah.
I love coaching high school kids when their parents aren't involved. So right. I started doing more individual lessons. And then randomly out of the blue, I got a call one day from a representative over at New York Life here in town. And
Marcus?
I went in. No, it was not Marcus. Okay. This was pre-Marcus's.
Okay.
That's weird that you know him as well. So it was actually a man by the name of Rob Campbell. He's no longer with the firm. But they saw my resume somewhere online. And I had never thought about getting into finance, never thought about getting into insurance. But I said, you know what? What do I have to lose? And I was about 2 weeks at that point. When I got that call, my wife and I were about to move out to Charlotte because I had a job lined up in Charlotte and I had a bunch of, you know, North Carolina friends that I knew out there. That was our goal. I went in for this interview and I kind of saw the opportunity within the industry and within kind of what I thought my capabilities were. And three interviews later, I was kind of starting on board with them and learning the industry.
With New York Life?
With New York Life, okay, is where I started my career, yeah.
Very cool.
So quickly from there, I went into the management ranks because, you know, I enjoyed what I was doing and I was good at what I did. And New York Life wanted me to train, develop, recruit, kind of the whole nine yards. So I did that whole management track for a good five and a half years until I wised up and decided that I wanted to start doing things my own way.
Okay. And so who are you with now?
So In this January, I started my own firm. It's called Empower Financial Group. Okay. It's myself and my business partner, Stephanie Kidder. And we also have our assistant, Mary, right now. So in January, we started this firm. It's a retirement planning, investment consulting, insurance. We kind of do all things relating to the overall retirement planning process. And so far, I think one of the things that separates us is we're very unique in our planning process. Yeah. We really want to make sure that we understand where people are currently so that we can at least talk a little bit more intelligently on where they're trying to go. I think a lot of times people, when they're talking about where they're trying to go from a retirement financial planning standpoint, I think we always think about, you know, what we want it to look like, but we don't really know where we are now. So it's really hard to kind of bridge that gap if we don't know where we are or where we're trying to go. So we really do a good front end job of learning the why behind what people are trying to accomplish.
And you get some people that are at a halt and some people that are like, let's do this. Well, I've prepared myself, you know, right?
The education is what I'm all about. I want to make sure that we're, you know, our main platform that we sit on is bringing financial literacy to Tucson. You know, I think, I mean, anyone sitting in this room, I doubt that you had a extensive background in learning financial literacy throughout your upbringings, right? Most of the time, you're not getting it in school, unless you're a finance major or going to college or school for that. Most of your information is coming from mom, dad, relatives, plumbers, anyone close to you that, you know, you bite their ear off a little bit about, you know, what they think. But a lot of those people are practicing older philosophies or older strategies that may or may not work today. Yeah. Again, I'm not one to sit here and say that I know it all, but I do know that, you know, learning about what someone's goals are, there's no cookie cutter way to do an overall financial planning process.
Right.
Everyone is unique in their own ways. Everyone wants their own thing. So we have to make sure that we're listening to that and understanding that what someone's trying to accomplish, whether they can accomplish it now or it's going to take them 5 years to get there, I don't care. They need the information. And as long as you arm them with that education, they're able to take action. That's where the name Empower Financial Group. We want to empower people to take their own actions. We don't want to sell an idea to somebody.
Right. Very cool. One phrase I always use in the, you know, the career path that I took the last 10 years, which was golf course maintenance, or I was a golf course superintendent, is site specific, right? You got to be site specific with people, right?
Absolutely.
Soils are different. Weeds are different. You might, you know, get rid of the weed this time, but in a few years, there might be some, you know, susceptibility, some you know, strength built up to where doesn't get the weeds as easy as it once did. You got to be smart, right? So with you and your people, you got to have a bunch of different options. And the more you have and the more value you have for people, right? You build more trust.
Absolutely.
Because you're creating a relationship more than, right? Rates, or was it relationships before rates, right?
Amen.
I heard that loud yesterday, what, twice? well, cool, man. We're going to come back to you and, you know, got a couple more questions I'll, you know, try to come up with.
Of course.
And the next guy on here, Alex Mastrangelo, him and I were introduced through a business referral group that we're a part of. And I've been lucky enough to do some business with Alex and got to know his company a little bit. I think it's very cool. Not something that I would want to dabble in at this point in my life, but kudos to you on Habitation Realty. Tell us, you know, where did it start? I know you were a realtor first.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was actually went into real estate right out of college. So I literally graduated, went right to real estate school and then started in the business. So I was about 21 years old when I did that, maybe 22. A little hard to sell real estate when you're that young. You know, you're selling it to people that are like, wow, my kid's older than you. You know, how should I trust you? So it really takes a lot to overcome that because I was always the youngest person around.
Right.
And but really, once you get people's trust, they're willing to work with you. And that's really what help push my business, because I always had to overcome it. You know, I'm always walking in going, I'm the kid in here.
Right.
And I'm going to, you know, I need to show you that I know what I'm doing. So I did that for a number of years with a local firm that I started with, trained under them, did real estate sales. And I got my broker's license as soon as I was eligible, with the intent to form my own business, because I don't work well under people. And I learned that about myself very early on, that if I'm not in control of everything, you know, that's not where I want to be. So I, as soon as I possibly could, formed my own company, Habitation, in 2007. So we're now about 11 years in. And it really just started as a residential real estate company, because that's what I knew.
Right.
It was, we were selling houses. We weren't doing anything special. It was what everyone else was doing back then. And then the market dropped about 5 months after I started the company, where, you know, this was right at the beginning of that huge nationwide real estate crash. And I'm sitting there going, well, I've got a real estate company now. What do I do? Because I'm going to talk to people trying to list their house, and they're like, yeah, we owe $200,000 on it. And I'm like, well, your house is worth 80.
Right.
And then I started like, well, I'll just learn short sales, right? That's what I was doing, short sales. I took some classes in short sales, got certified, and quickly realized that was the absolute worst thing you could advise somebody to do.
Right.
It was like, yeah, you want to destroy your credit and get zero for this. And hey, I got a commission though, right? Because that's the only good part about a short sale, is it was a way for a real estate agent to make a commission.
Right.
The key part about a short sale that they kept telling you, which nobody seemed to follow, was have them speak to an attorney first. Now, if you do, the attorney tells them, don't do a short sale. So I'm like, well, okay, well, why did I even learn this? This is ridiculous. So the idea came, well, why don't I just manage properties for people so they can hang on to them through this slump? They can hold on to their property. They can not take a loss on it. They can continue to make income. And then later on, if they want to sell it, they can sell it. Because I started referring people to other companies to do that, because I didn't do property management. And then I realized they were screwing it up. I'm like, well, I could do this. It's got, you know, it's got to be a better way to do property management. So I started doing it for people. Started with one, then two, then three, and then, you know, you pretty much just grew it from there.
And you have what, your goal is to get to 400 properties by the end of the year?
We're on track to do that. We're at about just shy of 340 right now.
Awesome.
We grow by about 100 properties a year net, is what we've been keeping up with. So that's about 8 to 9 a month that we take on new properties.
And then, you know, you and I have talked a little bit about, you know, when these people that you're managing their properties for, when they sell their house or want to sell it, they may have a realtor. And so you're not combating with them. You're just simply saying, go with them.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
if
exactly.
they treat you badly, you can also offer the service, right?
And yeah, it's one of those things where the main source of our referrals are real estate agents.
Right.
So we love working with real estate agents. You know, they give us lots of people. And the great thing is they bring us in at the beginning. So much like you would bring in a home inspector, you bring in a sewer inspector, you bring in a surveyor, whatever it is in your due diligence that you're doing when you buy a home, you bring in the property manager. And we show up at the home inspection, you know, if they want us to. And we give them a rental evaluation. We tell them, look, here are some issues you're going to have to correct if you're going to rent this out. Here are your numbers. Here's what we can expect to get for you. Here's what we can do for you. And they do all that before they go into contract. Because there are a lot of houses that come up that they think one thing about its rentability, and we tell them something else. And it may cause them not to buy the house. But we'd rather them not buy that and get something that actually does work than buy something that doesn't and get stuck with it. And at the end of the day, the agent that's selling it to him wants that too. You know, just like, you know, if you get a plumber out there and he finds a break in the sewer line, yeah, it might kill the deal. But that's a lot better than having a call from the person a month later going, do you see my yard? It's full of sewage. Why didn't you tell me to get this inspected? We are that due diligence that we do for people. We let them know what they can do with this property before they buy it, or if they've already bought it, we can evaluate it then too.
And you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have your own maintenance staff, right? You like to utilize other contractors like myself and other
correct.
People that, you know, are specialty item, you know, sellers, and, you know, yeah. get it out of the way, and you can feel a little, you know, rest assured that it's done right, because you're not, you know, responsible for this person that, you know, is working a job and wants to go home and could cut some corners.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Our thing is we work with third-party contractors. So we are not a contracting firm. We are not a handyman company. We don't make money off of the maintenance. The reason I do that is because I'm a real estate investor myself. I learned this by managing my own properties, and then now I manage other people's properties. I know how valuable it is to get the best deal you can when you're getting your property serviced. And that's what people want. It's like they want you to fix it. They want you to do it right. But they also want you to be looking out for them. You know, we have a fiduciary duty to the owner of that property to get it done, best quality work for the best price. If someone is not giving that to us, we go to somebody else. Right. And because we don't own the people that do that, we have the ability to, you know what, we're not happy with your service, we're going to move. Right. We're going to send our business to somebody else. We give them enough business where they tend to just adapt to what we do,
right.
Because they don't want to lose it. But we've pulled business from a lot of companies because they were not living up to our standards, and our owners are definitely better off because of it.
Right. So if there's somebody listening out there that's like a, you know, up-and-coming plumber, mm-hmm. and contact
Absolutely.
You and give his you know, his info to you.
We're open for new vendors. You know, we would be happy to set up a meeting with them to see if they're a good our company. And we never have enough vendors.
Right.
You know, any type of trade out there, whether it's general handy person, whether it's specific trade, electricians, plumbers, roofers, any of those things, we always need more of them.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I've known Justin for a long time. I've known Alex for a few months, and I've met Guy today for the first time. So just to kind of give you guys an idea of what I do and you know, how my company works, you know, we started this business in the middle of April. So we're literally on in the middle of month four right now. And, you know, we've started it off with, you know, using my credentials in the agriculture world to spray feeds, because you have to have licenses to do this out loud, or else you're going to get hit with fines. And if you don't fix your problems, you're going to continue to have these issues that arise, and you can't ever come, you know, go to your full potential. Within the first month, we realized that very few people that were coming to us with, you know, as a lead from the sources we were using, like Home Advisor, through our referral group, you know, you name it, a very small minority of them just wanted their weed sprayed. They wanted their weeds pulled. They wanted their trees trimmed, their bushes hedged, their all this other stuff. And then we can set them up with the weed spray, which is a recurring service along with the other stuff. But, you know, our biggest margins are in the spraying of the weeds. You know, we can, you know, get in and out and offer an honest service that hundreds of other people could do legally or illegally. And hopefully we can create a relationship with them to make them only want to call me because, you know, we're doing a better job than everybody in that relationship game. So yeah, we've been able to, you know, grow our business from myself busting my butt, you know, for, you know, who knows how many hours a day, two, maybe three jobs a day, you know, to, we have a staff of five people that, you know, are taking out a few different trucks each day to different jobs to, you know, do various cleanups, monthly maintenance plans. And our next step is to, you know, how do we get somebody in here that has the licenses that I have that can go out and, you know, take care of that spraying that I'm still doing myself, because I just don't want to have any little secret lies going on to, you know, hurt my company moving forward. You know, if I can be truthful with the operation, there's no reason to hide anything that we're doing. So yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. Different, you know, definitely different industry than all of you guys. Maybe similar more so to Alex, because we have that monthly reoccurring customer that we're wanting to contact, you know, wanting to make sure that they know we still care. Justin obviously has monthly customers. I'm one. And so, you know, he's here, right? He wants to be here because he wants me to know that he cares, and he wants me to stay with him for his bit for my business, right? And I want to stay with him. So no, it's been fun, right? It's been a crazy, you know, 13, 14 weeks where the week before, like this week, you know, we have jobs on the schedule, but we are such an impromptu business that we have to be able to, you know, change things up on a spur of the moment. You know, we got a job on Tuesday, Monday calls, another person calls on Tuesday, a street over. How can I make that work? Right. I got to be the best motivator you've ever believed to make these four guys that are working for me a day, five total, to keep going at 8 or a 10 on the speed level, and to know that they're appreciated and to show up again tomorrow. Right? That's the biggest challenge that I've had is to how do you like create a work environment that's
that culture.
A culture, right? Yeah. Create a culture that people are being respected, obviously being paid. I think we're paying people better than most companies are for our industry, which we take a lot of pride in, and offering a certain schedule that is, you know, encouraging, right? Everything has to be encouraging, and especially with landscaping, you know, it's probably one of the most unencouraging topics in the world, right? Because who wants to do that? But we want to do it for everybody, you know, and, you know, hopefully we can, you know, keep our bowling ball rolling down the lane and keep hitting those pins, green pin. And, you know, this next week's looking really strong, and we're excited to be here. And hopefully, you know, through sharing this podcast with some of your guys' network, you know, it'll click. Oh my God, I need to get my yard sprayed for weeds next week. And who are we going to call? We're going to call Poppy, right? That's who we want. That's what we want to happen. So getting back to Justin, Justin and I go to breakfast every Wednesday morning, prior to a meeting that Alex and I are part of on Wednesdays. So my Wednesdays are, you know, full of just motivation and, you know, encouragement from my peers and other, you know, business owners in Tucson. And, you know, one thing that we talk about every week is, you know, are we going to, think about how we're gonna, and we're only one person. Mm-hmm. Every person in the group that we go to breakfast with on Wednesdays constantly thinking, how am I going to get more people to work with me, right? Work for me, work with me. In the right people is the hardest part.
That's the key, man, is having the right people.
The right people. Mm-hmm. Now, let's fast forward a year from now, Justin. You have Camacho. Assuming he's doing great, he's going to stay on board. How many other Camachos are you fit for?
The sales, I mean, they can always come in. I'm never going to turn down sales. But what happens is when you sell, then you also have the service. So you got to make sure that you have qualified individuals to service the clients after the sale. Because, I mean, granted, if you're not, you know, cognizant of what is going out, you know, just as much as what's coming in, well, you could have, you know, you could crank out whatever, you know, 100 items a month. But you could also be losing just as many. So, you know, having that service is really what people are paying for. Having that relationship is what people are paying for. Looking at my business, you know, where my next move is going to be, it's going to be, you know, having, you know, an actual agency manager, you know, somebody that's managing the book, you know, a business that I have for the business that we're bringing in. You know, and finding somebody, I mean, I've gone through a couple different CSRs, a couple different office managers, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I look at it in, you know, in the, you know, the 6 years that I've been with American Family, three and a half years running it on my own agency, you know, I've had my fair share of, you know, of these staff. And, you know, I look at it and I'm like, you know, there's so many different facets that kind of go into, you know, what constitutes a great CSR. And I think one of the bigger ones, you know, Guy and I were just talking about it. You know, there's a book, it's called, Be Obsessed or Be Average. And inside the book, you know, it talks about, you know, having and creating that culture and having everybody see the same vision is what you do. And that's so important because, I mean, you're ultimately trying to take everybody to the top. And so, you know, what, you know, I've been, you know, we all know the saying, quick to hire, slow to fire. Or, you know, or the other way around, you know, slow to hire and quick to fire. And I think, you know, I've kind of flipped it around where I was really quick to hire and then really slow to fire because I didn't necessarily know exactly what I was going to do without that person. But that person was just kind of either A, just not putting me in a position to, you know, when you stay stagnant, you know, it's just as bad as, you know, moving backwards. While the rest of the world is moving forward and you're staying stagnant or being either pulled behind, I mean, it's not necessarily a good place to be in, especially as a business owner. So, you know, looking at, you know, ways, and I've gotten this through, you know, friends that we all know, better ways to hire, you know, making sure that you're doing yourself the due diligence as well as your business, as well as your customers. Because when you have customers that are seeing the people come in and go, you know, in and out, I mean, it's not good. It's not good at all. So, you know, I'm more cognizant of, you know, making these hiring choices. And there's actual, you know, strategic ways on how it is I'm able to do that. So, I mean, the next big hire in the agency, like I was sharing with you, I mean, is going to be, you know, that agency manager to manage and then continue to just grow, you know, grow that hierarchy, grow, you know, that vision, instill that vision in, you know, in my team. So that all of us are able to work together to achieve that goal.
So is that person a salesperson?
It's a hybrid, you know, I mean, because you want to be able to have somebody that's able to take a look at the policies, you know, that the customers have and make suggestions based on, you know, where they're at in their life. Very similar to, you know, what Guy does, you know, at Empower Financial. You know, you got to understand where it is that they're at and, you know, you have to cover for the things that, you know, they don't necessarily know that they need. And that's the biggest thing right there is just sharing the information and sharing the knowledge with the customer and then allowing them to make an informed decision that best suits their family. Because we all know that, you know, knowledge is power. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're selling to your customer, you know, if you're just selling it to them and they're just buying it because you're a good salesman, they don't know what they're buying. I mean, it's really, you know, there's really no value in that. And then a lot of the times the customer feels like they got sold. And when a customer feels like they got sold, well, you may not have a repeat customer. You may not have a referral from that customer. And it just creates a really bad relationship. And so, you know, when you're able to provide those services to them and explain to them, hey, you know, based on the information that you shared with us, these are recommendations that we have. You know, these are some of the liabilities that, you know, an individual in your particular situation should be cognizant of. And, you know, these are our professional recommendation based on the information that you gave to us. And, you know, and then going from there and then, you know, just looking for ways to better, you know, better everybody's situation. It's, you know, very similar to, you know, or in any industry. I mean, you always want the customer to leave, you know, it and over deliver, because if we under promise and over deliver, well, you know, we may not get the foot in the door from the get-go, but when we deliver on the expectations that we have and hold for our customers and our customers have for us, you know, I think everybody, you know, would be definitely appreciative when they, you know, when that happens. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, why I love what I do is because, you know, just getting information from, you know, individuals like yourself and the other two guys that are in here. I mean, it's, I mean, just what, you know, what Alex was sharing and also too what Guy was sharing. I mean, there's stuff that I wish I had a notepad in front of me that I could just write stuff, you know, write these notes down.
No notes.
But I mean, it's great. It's great content and it's great to have, you know, guys like ourselves, you know, guys and gals, you know, and that are in the industry that, you know, take what we do seriously and change lives with it, you know, because, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, I mean, it's, you know, changing lives is what, you know, what gives us the passion. It's why we wake up in the morning, you know. So not only are we changing the customer's lives, we're changing our own, we're changing our families, right, you know, for the better.
So, you know, your company, opposed to these two, you have to almost overstaff to get to those numbers because you have to reach more people. In my opinion, you guys have to kind of like get to a point where you have so much customers before you hire to maintain those accounts. Is that kind of how, what do you think, Guy? What's the game plan for you, you know, going from yourself and you said two other people that are working in your office? Mm-hmm. So what's the next step to going from you and those two and then another team of two or two other teams of two?
Sure.
Like, what's the customer base look like to get there?
You know, coming from I was a partner with New York Life, and one of the main responsibilities that I had when I was with them was the recruiting and development of people getting into the financial services industry. I had specific numbers that needed to be hit on a yearly basis. That number was 10. I needed to hire 10 people a year. Okay. I'm an average guy, and I just know that of those 10, two of them are probably going to be above average, and the rest will be mediocre at best. So me going into that, I hated that feeling of when I'm sitting in front of somebody and I'm talking to them, and I know that they're going to be okay at this business, but I don't know how extraordinary they may or may not be, right? So I have to, in that position, I had to give somebody a shot that maybe, you know, I thought there was a chance, but there was also a chance that they could fail, right? I mean, in the financial services industry, for every 10 people that get in, there is one remaining at the end of 5 years. Okay.
I believe it.
So the turnover and the success rates in the financial services industry is very low from a success standpoint, right? So what I'm trying to do with Empower Financial Group is I want to make sure that if I were to run across somebody who I feel was passionate about the education side of things, ambitious enough to want to help me and Stephanie Kidder grow our vision for what we feel Empower Financial Group is supposed to be here in Tucson and expanding even further out than Tucson over the next 5 years, I would love to entertain that idea. That being said, my focus right now is not to hire or bring any new advisors on board, because I want to make sure that Kidder and I are branding this thing the correct way with our faces and with our philosophies of what we believe people should be thinking about when they're thinking about their long-term planning options. Now, yeah, I think in the next 5 years, when we start getting our brand and we start getting more awareness about what separates us from the hundreds of other people who do exactly what we do, I think we should be able to start, you know, scaling up a little bit more and adding some more advisors to our team. But again, I'm hesitant to think that way because I'm fortunate. Stephanie Kidder, my business partner, and I actually hired her. And she was that one that when I met her, I'm like, this is the one that's going to be incredibly successful at this business. And sure enough, boom, here it is. We're starting our own business together because I saw that from the very, very beginning, right? I have not felt that way about anybody since her.
Right.
So it's really going to be a unique situation that has to happen. Now, obviously, I'd like to be able to scale up and be able to do that, but this is Tucson. And we all know how Tucson is. If I bring somebody on board to Empower Financial Group and they end up being a liability to my credibility here in this town, that hurts bad. Yeah. And I don't ever want to be in a situation where that happens. Now, I'm not saying I didn't care about it before when I was with New York Life, but New York Life's a little of a bigger brand than a mom and pop shop that we have started here in Tucson, like Empower Financial Group.
Right.
So that's a little bit why I'm kind of hesitant to scale up quickly, just because I think it's very important due to the high demand and the high amount of people in our industry. We have to separate ourselves with our philosophies and with our processes that we use so that people trust us to just come sit down with us and learn about what we're doing and see if they can apply it to their own situation.
Very cool. No, it makes sense. I mean, you can't, you don't want somebody out there telling people false answers when there's people out there like you that have the real answers and, well, they're telling them through you in a
right.
sense, and you know that's a big no-no.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and I don't know if I have all the right answers, right? If I don't have an answer, I'll definitely go get it. I think my number one concern would be is someone doing it for the wrong reasons. I think a lot of people look at the financial industry as kind of a way to make money quickly.
Right.
And I know that's not true, but I've seen people do it and make a bunch of money very, very quickly, but then that money goes away very quickly as well when you realize that they've been doing it under the wrong philosophies or the wrong approach, right? And I think that anytime you're sitting in front of somebody, and this goes for everybody sitting in this room, if you're thinking, I mean, you've heard of put the mission before commission, right? I mean, that's just a thing that every book says, right? Well, I think that's so true, especially, you know, for what we're doing. We're talking about the money that someone is going to be putting aside to help make sure that they don't have to work eventually at some point in their life. That's a very strong commitment and a very strong trust that someone has to build with us.
Yeah. Because it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's going back to what you were saying. I mean, that's the philosophy that I think a lot of advisors have is it's a one size fits all. And that's what brings the uniqueness to what it is that, you know, you guys do at Empower is, you know, breaking down, understanding the why.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, one size fits all definitely is something that the property management companies have been stereotyped. You know, before we bought our house, we were renters and we rented from, you know, so-and-so realty or whatever. And yeah, those people try to do it all. And guess what? They fail, mm-hmm. right? You know this, Alex. I mean, that's why you created a special and a different brand that is, you know, changing the way of property management, right? I mean, what better company to work with to know that when you call them, they're going to call somebody that has the ability to come out because they're not dealing with all the other properties too, you know? Is that, I mean, what do you think is, what I kind of know how you've been running your, you have a lot of realtors that work with you, right, on your
That's
team.
That's correct, yeah.
And you have a few people in the office that, you know, keep the train on the tracks. What's the growth potential for you in the next year for more staffing and, you know, and what you're capable of having on your team?
Well, you know, we've been continually adding more staff as we grow. I mean, that's the main thing we're doing because, as you said, as to keep the level of service up and to keep the property managers who are actually our sales force out there getting new clients all the time, we have to make sure that we don't put too much on their plate, that they have the time to go out and actually get new business, interview new clients, and spend time with their clients. That's their job. A property manager with our company gets paid very well. And they their time, if they budget it correctly and they delegate properly, is also protected. So we continually train them as they get bigger, because a property manager with Habitation is basically running their own business within a business. They manage a portfolio of properties that they have procured to manage within the company. Our company structure supports it. Our company does own the portfolio. But the manager is the one that gets paid monthly off of it as long as they're with our company.
Right.
They retain that portfolio, and our staff supports them. As the manager gets bigger, the manager actually starts hiring their own staff. That's a requirement within our company. When you cross, when one manager crosses 150 units that they're managing, they have a mandatory assistant that they need to hire on it at 20 hours a week. That's at their expense, but through our company and through our resources. What happens is that assistant is learning the business. That hopefully becomes our next property manager.
Right.
Because now they're getting really good at doing it. And now the time of the first property manager has opened up. They've got time to go out and prospect.
Right.
They're actually my lead property manager right now, and she was the first one to do that program that I designed for her, was telling me how nice it was that she goes, if you know, ever since I got my assistant, I get home every night before 6. Like, I'm actually home with my family enjoying this and not totally stressed out. And as I told her, your business will grow enough that you will pay for this guy in a matter of months if you're doing it right. You know?
So say Jimmy, he has 150 mm-hmm. properties that he manages. He now has to hire John.
Yeah.
And so these properties that John is now taking on, does John get those properties for him when he becomes a property manager?
No, John's got to go get his own properties.
So he's just in a training station,
yes.
right? With those, with Jim's properties. And, you know, then as soon as Johnny's ready, Jim gets a new Johnny
mm-hmm.
to deal with what Johnny's been dealing with.
Because ultimately, you know, for a company to be fully grown, we're going to have, you know, probably about 8 to 10 full-time property managers that work for Habitation. Each one of them having between 150 and 250 properties that they're responsible for. So that's the way that I'm projecting the growth of the company, by doing this and taking on new people and practicing ways to actually train them to get them good at this. Because there's a lot of different aspects that they have to learn to get into this business.
Right.
One thing I don't do is hire existing property managers. The last thing I want is somebody that learned from somebody else.
Yep.
Because they're gonna learn it wrong. It's not our system. Everything we do is completely different than other property management companies. And the structure I did make the investment in staffing up first, that all the money I made as a profit I put back into staff, because I knew that without a good staff, we're gonna go nuts and we're gonna lose everybody because they're gonna go crazy and run out crying. And that's not what I want. You know, I want them to stick around and say, this is actually a job I enjoy. It's a hard job, but I like doing it. I'm making money. I want to stick around. Ultimately, the profit for us really starts rolling in for a property management company after about 300 properties. So we crossed into that about 6 months ago, where you actually are totally supporting your company. You're supporting all of your employees. You're covering your expenses, and now you're making money. However, between one property and 300 is the hard part.
Right.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
That's the part that we got through. You know, we did that already. Now we're just growing the company, and what we do from now on is profit. And that's really exciting because every time we pull on a property, it's profit.
Right.
You know, and that's and that benefits me.
Yeah.
You know, I like that part.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's in you know, in my business model, you know, we're in that stage of how do we get to that part, you know, that number of properties that we you know, people rely upon us to come out once a month or, you know, whenever they want us to come out, to where the next property we get is like awesome.
Yeah.
Pays for payroll and daycare. You know?
But I think the big thing is just having that team, you know, like what Alex was saying and, you know, like what Guy was saying also, too. I mean, that is the key focus, you know, on scaling, you know, scaling your business. Because if you scale chaos.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is not good.
It's a bigger chaos.
Yeah, it's a even bigger chaos. You know, and I think that's why Guy was so quick, you know, or so slow to, you know, hire Kidder, you know, when. Yeah, I'm sure that there was a lot of potential candidates, but, you know, she was the one that fit the mold. And I think where your visions aligned, you know, and same thing with Josh. I mean, I know it's the same thing. You know, we talk about it quite frequently is, you know, how do you reproduce yourself,
right.
You know, and how do you, you know, create that vision and instill that vision in your entire team to say, hey, this is the route that we're wanting to go. You know, who's on board with me? You know, because when you have that one individual that wants to go left when you're going right, I mean, it's gonna create a lot of animosity amongst, you know, everybody in the team and the clients that, you know, that we're serving.
I know we all three represent a company. I heard this interesting thing today. You probably heard it too, is how the branding of people with their business has kind of changed in the last 20 years because of social media and all that. And like, you know, you think of like Grant Cardone, right? And, you know, everybody knows Grant Cardone, but like, what company does he work for, right? Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because once you know him, you've accepted he has value, the sale for him becomes easy because people know the name. Whereas another alternative is like Nike, right? Like, does anybody know the owner of Nike's name? The owner of Nike, you know his name.
Right?
Do you know his name?
Phil Knight,
right? I've assumed you're an athlete, right? So see, that's different, right? Like, what does Grant Cardone do? We don't know, but we know him.
Right.
What is Nike? We all know, but who made Nike?
Right.
Not the guy didn't care about branding himself.
Michael Jordan made Nike
that popular,
is true.
Right? You know, it's just, you know, so I'm trying to do my best to brand my company Poppy Yard Solutions and, you know, promote poppyyards.com and, you know, at Poppy Yards on Facebook and Instagram and get people to, you know, click on our links. But more importantly, I just want to promote myself, you know, and who is Josh and why would you want to work with Josh? Well, hopefully it's because he's an honest guy and treats you well and is consistent on that, you know, and that's one thing that's super hard to find is people that are consistent when they're, you know, in chaos, right? And I try to pride myself a lot with what I've been in my career is I pretty much know that everything's going to go wrong. It's just a matter of what level, you know, it could be a level one wrong, which is, well, there's nothing wrong. It could be a level 10 wrong, which is like, well, there's really nothing wrong still. We just have to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, you know, that it just, for me being consistent with my team is the biggest thing for me because I want to make sure that everybody comes to work every day with a similar consistent attitude and they can assure themselves that I'll be the same way, you know, and working with, you know, working a job like we all have, right? It sucks to go to work when your boss brings his problems to you, you know, and you know, you start to, you know, negate how that job is for your life. And then you start to move on. And so
how is it? I mean, let me ask you this, man, how is it that you've gone from in 4 months from one employee to five employees? I mean, share with us, man, like what is it that you're doing right?
Well, first we're doing a pretty good vetting program. You know, my wife helps me out with the process of hiring. We do a, you know, pretty detailed background search, you know, using Google. And we also use E-Verify to make sure that they're legitimate. And upon hiring them, most of our hires have come from like a referral of some sort. We did have one person on our staff who's left. He referred a person to us. That gentleman has now been with us for a few months and is, you know, our team leader. And through there, we hired a person that I had a previous relationship with who I knew was a hard worker. And then we did that again with another guy and then another person. And through working, you know, through the heat and you know, hula-hoeing weeds and you know, trimming trees, I always come to them with like a no-problem mindset. You know, even though they broke something or, you know, a rock broke a window from a weed eater, I never take it out on them. And I just try to reassure them that I know things are going to go wrong. I understand that nobody's perfect. And guess what? The customer is going to have to understand, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that they're okay with knowing that, hey, we didn't finish today for whatever reason. Here's our plan moving forward. Is this acceptable? If not, what would you like done? What type of time frame are you looking for? And in my head, you know, without speaking, how do I come up with that answer and then tell them and then follow through, right? Mm-hmm. Not only following through on customers, but following through on employees. You know, my staff works 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, right? So they get 3-day weekends every week. What a great job. You know, I mean, how many jobs can you get that it's a consistent 3 days off a week? Now, we may not pay the full 40 hours a week to benefit us as a company for, you know, benefit reasons. But paying a person a better than normal wage for the work we're doing makes up for that little bit of hours, you know, reduced from the paycheck. You know, we provide uniforms, hats. We just went to, you know, Costco and bought a bunch of jackets. And, you know, I try to think that I'm the smartest person in the world, right? I mean, after a long day, here's what I do. Bring the guy in, have him try on a jacket. How's it fit? Letting him know that there's more to this job than just rough days. We're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that, A, you're going to get what you need, but also you're going to look good in our apparel and brand what we got going on, because we want people to see you and we want to make sure that you know that you're a part of it, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, I mean, that's really it. And all the checks we've written have, you know, cashed.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's a good thing.
You know, we're really paying money forward to get leads. You know, and this month has been fabulous because we haven't had to pay for any leads. You know, we've been getting a bunch of free referrals from our referral group, from Justin, none from a guy yet. but, you know,
I just met you.
We just met. You know, right. I got approved.
He's got
to
a
him.
Big yard. I do.
So, you know, we've just been very blessed over the past, you know, 120 days to, you know, to keep these jobs going, into, you know, our vehicles have been running. You know, it's just we've been able to keep this ship afloat through good thinking and through using all of our resources. You know, I come from my dad is a mechanic. You know, my mom's brother is a mechanic at a golf course, and you know, so I guess I have the ease in mind knowing that if something happens, I know where to go. I don't have to, you know, post a recommendation on Facebook for a good mechanic. You know, I know where I'm going, so I already have a solution if the problem comes. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when the problem comes, I already had the answer. It's just a matter of how am I going to get to that, you know, bottom line under the answer line, you know, on the addition problem. Simplicity, right? Mm-hmm. Simple. And I just hit the phones, dude. Like, you know, like every day I try to call at least, you know, 3 or 4 realtors that I haven't called. This on my way here, I returned a machine to Home Depot, saw this guy's company is called like All Critters, right? They take care of, like, you know, pack rats and stuff. He was backing up into a spot. I pulled over and gave him my card, asked him if he sprayed for weeds, right? It's like my little inn, ask him something. He says, no. Well, can I give you a card? He says, yeah. I give him my card. And I think, holy cow, I met this lady that needed some pack rat work done. Hey, let me call you right now. And then I'm going to send you this lady's number. You call her. Maybe I can give him a lead first. So, I mean, like right there, it's just another little envelope of leads that could come in eventually. And maybe in the due time, I can give him some leads even before he can give me any value. You know, this whole year, I've told many people, you know, it's so stereotypical, but I want to try to create, you know, more friendships and relationships because people buy from people they know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. Right. And if we can create a brand like Poppy Yard Solutions and people can learn to trust that, hopefully our culture within our staff will keep me staffed to be able to fulfill all these needs from these new and existing clients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been fun. It's like the same thing I've been doing for the last 12 years, except for I'm not reliant on people playing golf to make my paycheck, mm-hmm. you know, and, now I can just go golf and know that, if there's a sprinkler that's blowing up, I can, just laugh. Excuse me. And, it's been a really fun and different change, a lot more stress, but it's stress that is overcome by action, and the more action you take in the right directions, the less stress you have if you're willing to do the hard work. Right. I think everybody in here is, a hard worker. Easy to see. You don't get from 5'10 to 6'3 without doing something right.
And no steroids.
No steroids. And I graduated high school 5'10. I'm 5'10 now. fruit snacks and Pepsi. I know we're getting close to the end here. Just so everybody knows, we are in Tucson at the Stewart Title Studio on Broadway in Alvernon. And this is hosted by Tucson Business Radio X, part of the Business Radio Network. And I want to go around the room here before we go back around. We're going to go opposite way. My website is poppyyards.com, and you can catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Poppy Yards. We got a bunch of pictures, of work that we've been doing. If you want to learn a little bit more about me, we wrote up a little bio on my kind of 12 years in this, landscaping world. And, it's simple, but it's what I've been doing. And I don't think I would have changed it for anything. And this month we're actually doing $20 off for new customers. So just so you guys know that, we got what, 14 more days in the month or so. And, we've been able to capitalize on, I think, five or six clients that saw the website and they got the price and they said, oh yeah, hey, what about that coupon? So we honor it, Alex, where can people find you and what's a good person for you this week?
Well, they can always find us at habitationrealty.com. That's our main website. It actually has our sales division and our property management division are both found through that site. So it's habitationrealty.com. And it also lists for potential owners, people that own investment property, that's really who we're looking for. They can go there and actually see our pricing structure. Everything's very transparent. It's very easy to figure out. They can look there, see what we charge, what we do, and then they can also make an inquiry if they're interested in having a meeting or at least having a discussion about what they have. So what we're looking for is anyone that either has a rental property that they are self-managing, is thinking about buying a rental property, or they have a property manager that they're not happy with. All of those people we can help. And we'd love to talk to them this week and see what we can do for them.
Awesome. Guy?
You can find us at EmpowerFinancialGroupLLC.com. That is our main website. We also have a Facebook business page, which is Empower Financial Group LLC. You can find us on there. You'll see my nice mug somewhere on there, and you'll know it's me. Who I'm looking for, here's the fun part, is I don't expect anyone to ever call me. My phone never rings for what I do. But what I always ask people to do is keep an open mind if you hear from me. I am usually the one making the outbound outreaches to individuals, because everyone, for some reason or another, thinks they're all set or is just afraid to cross that bridge of, I don't want to look at my, my retirement plan. I don't want to see if I'm doing things the right way. So, keep an open mind for when I reach out to you and understand that all I'm looking to do is add some value and help understand a little bit more about what you're trying to achieve. And that's simple as that.
So, but 20-year-old calls up, you're just,
I'm there.
Fair
if,
game.
If they want to learn, I'm going to teach, right? If you're 20 or you're 80, I don't care where you're at in life. I want to make sure that I'm making an imprint and helping you understand the value that we can bring at Empower Financial Group and making sure that you understand some of the things that are available.
Awesome.
Yep.
Justin, what's a good customer for you this week, or a good lead, somebody they could build a relationship with that can lead to more customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, customers for us, man, are just customers that you're either overpaying right now. I mean, I just got a phone call from my brother-in-law today. I mean, he's not to knock on any insurance company, but the insurance company he's been with is a company that, proudly serves the military community. But he ended up switching. He's in Massachusetts, so unfortunately I can't help him out up there. But come to find out, man, he ended up saving $1,800 a year.
Wow.
By making the switch, man. And the big thing is people don't know you know, people don't know what they don't know. And if you don't look, you know, and you don't keep an honest man honest, well, you end up finding out, you know, 10 years down the road that you've been overpaying $1,800. And I get that, you know, I get those clients all the time that either just got referred to me. So, you know, if you haven't had, you know, an insurance, you know, review in the last 2 or 3 years, I mean, the insurance industry is constantly up and down. And if you're not checking, you know, to see if, you know, you're, you know, paying what you should be paying, or let alone if you're not getting the value that you think that you should be getting, or if you're not paying the price that you think you should be paying, you know, those are the type of customers that, you know, that we're looking for. So, you know, you can find us at justinmusgroveagency.com. You can find us on, you know, all of our social media handles, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, just type in Justin Musgrove, you'll be able to find us. You know, contact me directly. I think, you know, there'll be a link here, you know, associated to the Tucson Business Radio X. But yeah, I mean, anybody that, you know, has insurance from, you know, just a single car to, you know, running a business. I mean, it's, we can do absolutely everything. There's not a single piece of insurance that we can't turn away. And if we do turn it away, you know, we end up trying to, you know, utilize our partners, you know, like Guy. I mean, I've sent, you know, Guy business, you know, the financial, you know, I had a customer of mine that, you know, where he and his wife were, you know, and they just ventured in into retirement. You know, that's an area, you know, I know enough to get us both in trouble, but, you know, I know Guy knows, you know, I know Guy can definitely do a much better job. And, you know, and if I'm able to help, you know, a fellow friend out and a fellow business owner, you know, I mean, I'm all for it. So
awesome. Well, guys, you know, we're wrapping up now. We made it hour.
We
it went
it.
By pretty smoothly. Thank you for coming. Thanks for sharing what you guys got going on and, you know, some goals that you had. And, you know, let's share this thing on Facebook. You know,
absolutely.
let's get this thing out there and see if we can get some listeners, and hopefully we can, you know, turn that into some, you know, some commission checks, you know, little or big. Well, guys, thank you. This is episode 2 of Weeding Out Business, and I'm your host, Josh Grubaugh, owner of Poppy Yard Solutions. Have a great day.